You know, I keep thinking, you all have a great worship team. And then I got thinking, we have a great worship team. That's even better. And I've always said, when you have the right music, the right worship, the right people who are not performing but are worshiping and leading us before the throne of grace, makes it so easy to preach. Because our hearts are already open and prepared to hear what God wants to say to us. Lord, we're here to hear from you. Lord, may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, and may your word go out and not return void, but may your word do what you want it to do this morning. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Change is hard. Change throws everything into chaos. They say, whoever they is, they say it's not really change that people avoid, that people don't like. It's the fear of loss. And any time there's change, there's some degree of loss. Sometimes we accept that change, and sometimes we resist it. And it seems like in the past couple of years, everything's been changing and changing and changing. Way too much, way too fast. And everyone has been experiencing losses. Every time we think we've got it figured out, every time we think things are going to get back to whatever normal is, it changes again. And everything's in chaos again. And here in the midst of all this chaos, in the midst of COVID, in the midst of all the things going on in our world right now, God called Frank to go to another church. More change, more loss, more uncertainty. And Jesus didn't even ask your opinion about it first. I mean, come on. Change happens, whether we like it or not, and often we don't have a say in the changes that are happening. Tim Ferriss, who is one of the top business podcasters, says, people would rather be unhappy than uncertain. And whenever change happens, uncertainty comes with it. People would rather be unhappy than uncertain. And that uncertainty stirs all kinds of other emotions within us. So then Pastor Larry came along, and about the time you got used to him, change. And now I'm here, and some of you are sitting there right now, and you're uncertain about me. And I get it. I understand. I'm uncertain about you too. But we'll get to know each other. We'll learn about each other. We're going to have some gains. We're going to have some losses. In Real Life Chapel has been through a lot of changes in the last 6 months or so. But in the midst of the change, in the midst of the uncertainty, as the worship team was sharing with you, we serve a God that we can be certain of. The writer of Hebrews said, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So in the midst of the change, in the midst of the chaos, we can hang on to Jesus, and we can be certain that he is good. And he wants what's good, what's best for Real Life Chapel, for the river, the church that we were at previously. And now they're going through the same process you all have been going through. And he wants what's best for Alana and I as we go through this transition time. But change brings uncertainty. It brings anxiety. It brings chaos. But in the midst of all of that, we can sing, "It is well with my soul." Everything around me may not be well, but it is well with my soul. And yeah, you all are going through a lot of change right now. Lon A and I are going through a lot of change right now. And yes, that is how you say her name, Lon A. All right, because people will mess it. I just accidentally got it right one time when this was back in the day when they had a thing called a phone book. And I knew her dad's name. And so I called the number and her mother answered and I said her name right. Probably the only time before I actually met her that I said it right. But I said it right, so her mother gave me her number because she figured I knew her, which I really didn't. But anyway, Lon A, when you say the name right, it worked for me. But anyway, Lon A and I are in the midst of change. Praise God. We were looking for a house up here. And there was nothing on the market that we could afford. I mean, million, 2 million, 3 million. There's a bunch of those still out there. But that wasn't in our budget. I'll tell this story another time. But we got a house. All right? So it's going to be 60 days or so before we're able to move into it. It's a spec house, all these things going on. So there's still chaos in our house. Now, this coming Thursday, our house in Berlin is going on the market, so you can pray that it moves, but that it moves so that we don't have to move twice, that we can move right from there into our new house. So there's all kinds of change, there's all kinds of chaos, and we can say, it is well with my soul. In the midst of that chaos, while we're running back and forth, I'll be coming up here, what I'm thinking, and this could change, all right, we're in the midst of change. What I'm looking at is Wednesdays and Thursdays for sure, I will be here. Okay, Wednesdays and Thursdays. And then I'm going to flip between Mondays and Tuesdays. I'm not sure. One week it might be Wednesday, Monday, another Tuesday. And I'll be working from home. So I'm just trying to figure some of this out as we go along. But here's what I want you to know. I had Michelle put my phone number and email address on the front of the bulletins. Feel free to call me, text me, shoot me an email. If you want to sit down over a cup of coffee, or if you want to just stop in and see me, if you want to sit down over a meal, I want to get to know each other. That helps remove that uncertainty, that fear, the trying to figure each other out. Things are going to be crazy for a little while, for a few months. They'll get stabilized. We'll get moved up here and be able to be involved in the community and what all is going on. So we're working towards a little more certainty, though there's always change in life. Oh, and by the way, this coming week, I'm going to be in Pikesville, so I won't even be around until Thursday. I'm going there for a board of ministry, which we interview people wanting to get their first-time district license, and then also interviewing those who are going to be ordained in the coming year. So I'm involved with that. But let's talk about real life. And I don't mean the church real life. I'm talking about life that's real. I remember it was a neat question. The first question the leadership team asked me, and Dave asked me the question, what do you think about the phrase, it's not about religion, just real life? That's it. What do you say? That is what it is. It's not, when you're following Jesus, it's not about religion. It's about life, real life. And real life with Jesus, whether you like it or not, means there's going to be changes. Real life with Jesus involves changes. There's mountaintops and there's valleys. I grew up attending church, but it was religion. We went every single Sunday, or most Sundays, I should say. I shouldn't say every single. We went most Sundays. I believed in Jesus. I believed he was the Son of God. I believed he died for my sins. I knew about Jesus, but I didn't know him. It wasn't life. It was Sunday morning religion. Went through the motions, the ritual, but not a relationship. Quit going to church when I went off to college. Didn't feel like I missed a thing. And then after Lonnie and I got married, we'd been married a couple years, and we decided to go to the little country church right near where our farm was. My grandmother went there. Her grandfather went there. And I know looking back, it was God, what we call his prevenient grace. That grace that goes before us. That grace that draws us into a relationship with him. That wooing grace. And he was calling us into a relationship with him. So we started going, and the next thing I knew, I let my guard down and Jesus got a hold of my heart. And my life was flipped upside down. Eventually, I quit drinking. I quit cussing. I lost half my vocabulary. I couldn't get enough of his word. I just wanted all of Jesus I could get. I went to every service I could, every Bible study I could. I was just reading through the Bible and just grabbing hold of all that I could get. And it was a dramatic change from where I'd been before. I didn't know scripture at the time. I didn't know theology. I didn't know all the Christianese terms. In fact, at that little Methodist church, the pastor asked me to read the passage that Sunday morning. I said, sure, I'll do that. And he gave me the passage to read. Now, you can help me on this. The word is spelled J-O-B. How do you say that? Isn't it a job? Everywhere I've ever been, J-O-B is a job, so I'm reading about Job. Shouldn't he put an E on it if he's going to go by Job? They love me anyway. God changed our lives in that little Methodist church. And we just continued to grow closer and closer to Jesus. And then a couple years later, I went on this Christian leadership weekend, and they had a makeshift chapel in the basement of this cheap hotel. If any of you all remember, it was Delmarva Convention Center, right there in Delmar, right on the line. Wasn't much of a place. But in that basement, they had a little altar there, and I went in there when nobody else was in there, or a little chapel. I went in there when nobody else was in there and grabbed a chair and made it an altar. And I knelt down there. I said, Lord, here I am. You can use me any way you want. I will go wherever you want me to go, and I will do whatever you want me to do. I'm yours. And no matter what you may ask of me, the answer is yes. I didn't know what I was getting into. And I realized looking back that Jesus was drawing me deeper and deeper into a relationship with him. It's not about religion. It's about life. It's about real life with Jesus. It's about a relationship. And in that relationship, I got to the point where I trusted Jesus enough to get out of the boat and to follow him, trusting him. Even if he was leading me into the fire or out on the waves, I trusted him. It was well with my soul, whatever I might have been facing. But as I found out, real life with Jesus involves a lot of change, a lot of uncertainty. But in the midst of the change, in the midst of the uncertainty, Jesus is there as our rock. He is stable. When everything else around us may be rocking all over the place, he is the solid rock. And we can be certain in him. If you have your Bibles or your phones or whatever you look at Scripture with, if you would, turn to Romans chapter 12. And we're going to be in Romans chapter 12 for the next 3 weeks, so you can read ahead and allow God to begin to prepare you for the services as we're going to look at what Paul has to say to the church in Rome over the next few weeks. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Therefore, in view of God's mercy, For the past 11 chapters in Romans, Paul is laying out how us human beings have chosen to worship created things instead of our Creator. We've done our own thing instead of following God's will, instead of following God's call on our lives. We have sinned and turned our back on God, and we are running from him instead of to him. But Jesus came to turn us back and to give us life where we deserve death. He came, he lived, he died, he rose from the grave to give us new life. And Paul tells us in Romans that when we are baptized into Christ, we are united with him in his death and his resurrection. We are no longer slaves to the law of sin and death. But now we enter into life in the law of the Spirit, where there is life, abundant life. God wants to give us full and fulfilled lives. And that's a dramatic change in our lives when we unite with Christ in his death and resurrection. And it's not some spiritual transformation that has no real life implications. This is life in the here and now. It's not about getting our ticket stamped to get to heaven and then going on and living the same old way we lived before. It's life transformation. Living for the kingdom of God now while we still live on this earth. In view of God's mercy. His mercy that gives us life in the Spirit. In view of his mercy, our response, our reaction to such an offer he gives us through his love for us, a love we don't deserve, our natural response is to offer ourselves, our bodies, as living sacrifices. God does not want us to climb up on an altar somewhere and die. He wants us to die to our self-centeredness and to really live. Live the lives we have been created and called to live. Abundant lives, reflecting God's glory back to Him and the people we encounter in this world. This is what worship, this is what real worship looks like. Even people like me who can't clap, who can't keep a beat, who can't sing on key, or any of those kinds of things, can worship God as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to Him. Our lives, our day in, day out lives, the nitty gritty lives submitted to Jesus are lives of worship. We worship swinging a hammer, raising kids, driving a truck, crunching numbers, leading people, working the water or working the land. It doesn't matter what we do in the midst of our lives. We are created to be worshipers, real life worshipers of Jesus as living sacrifice. Real life with Jesus involves change. And if you say you're a follower of Jesus and your life is no different than it was before you began to follow Him, you need to re-examine your relationship with Jesus and who you're really following. And if you're a follower of Jesus and said, hey, I'm good, I've been following Him all this time, and your life isn't changing on a regular basis, you need to re-examine who you're following. Because when we really follow Jesus, He's always at work in us, always changing us, helping to shape us more and more and more into His image. Jesus is in the business of changing us, shaping us, and using us as His hands and feet in this world. That living sacrifice part was what happened to me in that makeshift chapel, kneeling down at a chair. I had no idea what Romans 12:1 said. But Mark died that day, the old Mark. I came home. Devil jumped into line A, and she'll tell you. All she did was I walked in the door and she looked at me. Oh my goodness. She was mad because Jesus did in one weekend what she'd been trying to do for 4 years of marriage. But then Jesus got a hold of her too. And our lives were changed. And He uses us as a team. We're opposite. We're opposite as can be. But we strengthen each other. Real life with Jesus involves change. Real life with Jesus means death and resurrection. We die to our old way of life and we're resurrected as new creations. We are reborn. Jesus is not in the business of making bad people good. Did you know that? He's not in the business of making bad people good. He's in the business of making dead people alive. I hear the sound of dry bones rattling. He's bringing life from death. Real life. Real life with Jesus means death and resurrection. A few years after I was on that leadership weekend, I began to sense God calling me into ministry. I tried to tell him, man, when I get in front of people, I get nervous. I don't speak that well. He says, Moses told me that years ago. You better come up with something new. I said, well, I got this chicken farm here, and I owe a lot of money on it. I can't just up and leave, so, you know, you have to sell the chicken farm. And then I was at revival services. I remember really hearing God call, and I went to the altar and I prayed. I said, Lord, I already told you whatever you want to do with me, I do. And if you can use this old chicken farmer, however you want to use me, just use me. And he said, wait. I said, hold on, God, when you call someone, and they say, yes, you're supposed to go ahead and put them to work. I'm trying to tell God how to be God. And he reminded me that when he called David, David had to wait before he became king. When he called Moses, Moses had to wait before he led it. And I'm not comparing myself to them. There's a lot of places in Scripture where God would call, and then he would say, wait, let me prepare you. And in those years, God prepared Lon A and I both for what he had ahead of us. So I said, God, if you want me to become a pastor, if you sell this farm, I'll know it's time to go. It's not easy selling a chicken farm. But then we got to the place as time was going on, and I was raising chickens, and I was working off selling chicken houses and equipment and doing all that kind of stuff, just doing whatever. And I figured it out. If I built 4 more chicken houses, we had 2 farms with 2 chicken houses on each one. If I built 4 more chicken houses, so I'd have 8 chicken houses, and I built walls for building new chicken houses and oversaw construction, which I'd been doing some of, I could stay home and just do the farm. So I said, God, if you want me to go into ministry, it'd be better to do it now before I go $1 million in debt. But he didn't open those doors. So we went ahead and we built the other chicken houses, and I was doing all that work building the others, building wall panels and all for other people. And then one day I was off. I'd actually flown out to Seattle. My sister had cancer, and they thought she was going to die real soon. So we went out there basically to say goodbye. And a real estate agent stopped up the house. We hadn't said anything to anybody about selling our farm. He stopped up at the house. Told Lon A he wanted to sell our farm. Lon A said, we're not interested. I got home. I said, you find out how much money they got to offer first. I mean, let's be real. And then I actually ended up going back out there again. And the guy stopped by again. And this time he gave Lon A his business card. And I came back and I remember sitting at my desk looking at that card. I said, God, if this is you, you have him contact me. I'm not calling him. And I threw the card up on my desk. Well, I had a feeder breakdown in the chicken house. I'm in the chicken house. And if you've ever been in a chicken house, I was covered with feed dust and manure, pulling a feeder apart. And this little Korean guy walked in a 3-piece suit and said, I want to sell your farm. All right, Jesus, is this you working here? We told him, you can't put any signs on the farm because we don't want Purdue to know, and you can't talk to Purdue because that's who we're growing with, and you can't talk to anybody else, and we didn't tell anybody, including our parents. 6 months later, Lon A and I and 4 boys from 2 to 8 were packing up and moving to Kansas City so I could go to seminary in order to be prepared to be a pastor. Never imagined that God would work in those ways. Never imagined that we'd actually sell the farm and become pastors. Being a living sacrifice isn't easy, but it's good. It's good. Real life with Jesus means we're in a constant state of change while hanging on to our Savior who does not change. He's changing us so we can become more and more like him. Picking up at verse 2 of Romans 12, good thing we're not doing the whole chapter today, huh? Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to attest and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. In case you haven't figured it out yet, the world is trying to shape you into its image. The pressures around us, the advertising, the news, the movies, the TV shows, the politicians, all have an agenda. And I'm not saying we shouldn't watch TV or shouldn't watch movies or anything. No, what I'm saying is we need to be aware that they have an agenda. And they want us to conform into their image. And most people who go to church are shaped more by the news channel they watch, the songs they listen to, the books they read, the TV shows they watch, the movies they go to, than they are by Scripture or by Jesus. I heard one Christian leader say, you know, our faith used to shape our politics. Now our politics shape our faith. If Jesus is not our focus, we are easily led astray and we conform to this world. When Paul says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, it's kind of like the old Jell-O molds. You pour Jell-O in and it takes whatever shape that mold is, or Play-Doh. You know, you can make a dog, a house, or an airplane and a car all out of the same Play-Doh using a different mold. The pattern shapes the object. The Play-Doh takes on the form of whatever is pressing in around it. And that's what Paul is talking about. The world will conform us, wants to conform us. He said, do not conform to the patterns of this world. Instead, we are to be transformed. That means changed. I mean, really changed. It's the word that we use for metamorphosis. Real life with Jesus involves metamorphosis, transformation, being made new. We are new creations in Christ. The old is gone. The new is here. Not only are we made new, we are being made new. It's a continuous process. It's not, I'm made new and now I got it, I've arrived, I'm done. No, it's an ongoing process of being made new. We are transformed and we are being transformed. Living things change. That's just the way it is. That's real life with Jesus. So today is the beginning of something new at Real Life Chapel. In your life and in my life. And it's also the continuation of something old. Over the coming weeks and months and years, you will shape me, I will shape you, and Jesus will transform all of us to be more and more and more like him. Jesus wants to transform our lives, our church, and our community. And he calls us to join together to make a difference, to reflect his light into the darkness. There's really only one thing that matters at this time of transition. Have we come to the place where we are willing to be living sacrifices? Are we willing to tell Jesus, here we are, use us. However you want, wherever you want, whenever you want, here we are. We're here to do what you want us to do. Are we willing to die to ourselves to serve others? Are we willing to change as we submit to one another out of reverence for Christ? And then, as living sacrifices, we will discover God's good and perfect will for our lives, for Real Life Chapel, for Easton, as we work together to live for and reveal the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven.